Ladies and gentlemen, we're live and in full effect. What's going down? It's your boy, Mr. Hurd.
And it's your boy, D-Money, live in the building. What's cracking?
So we got a new show here. I want to thank everybody for joining. D-Money, you want to tell them about the show, what we're calling this thing?
Yeah, man. This is our first segment together called Digging Through Tracks.
We're digging through tracks, y'all. We're digging through them.
Real heavy.
You know what I'm saying? Real heavy. And it's going to be a good time. We're going to be talking about some history and producers and artists and genres, different things in music that maybe guys ain't talking about. Maybe you guys didn't hear about or don't know about so much, you know?
Yeah, and I think we're going to give you some names you've never heard before, some names you are familiar with. And, yeah, it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, most definitely. And I want to say thank you right away to everybody who's been listening on the other platforms. Anchor.fm/215. You guys have been great. And Mula B, your shows and platforms have been doing pretty well, right?
Pretty well. Received some ching 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 recently from anchor.fm/dmoneyshow.
Oh, is that what they doing?
So, yeah.
Oh, for real?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. I got to put you D.
But yeah, well, see, no, man, you know, I got a little beef with Anchor. I ain't going to talk about it. I got a little beef with Anchor, but... But I'm glad folks are getting paid. We're all getting paid.
Right.
So I'm not mad.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, thank you for everybody that's been tuning in. And hopefully you guys will continue to support us. And you'll support this platform and you'll listen and tune in. Because we're going to be rocking out.
Oh, real heavy.
You know? So we got some different topics that we want to talk about here. All right. So I hope you guys can buckle up and bear with us. All right. D-Money, you want to start with a topic, or you want me to jump in?
You can charm in.
Okay, so right off the bat, guys. All right, we want to talk about some jazz.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I mean, we want to talk about some jazz. I was looking into this the other day, and I was just wondering myself because I was like, what made jazz so unique? And I was also looking into it because I was looking for some stuff I could sample. So I didn't find anything that I could sample. Instead, I ended up reading a few things, right? And I got led to a documentary, right? And you guys know I love those. It's like an hour and a half long, so I watched it real fast. But one of the things that I noticed, Mula B,
right,
was that, you know, jazz was like this super intellectual side of the whole musical thing. Uh-huh. And it's like, it seemed to like get pushed to the background as... rock and roll or other little genres took off, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? You needed to, you know, play an instrument and read music. And, you know, still to this day, that's difficult for a lot of guys. I can't read music. I'm familiar with notation and what's going on. But don't ask me to break it down for you.
Yeah.
I ain't going to be able to do it. So Wikipedia says this, because everybody likes Wikipedia. Y'all know we got to go to Wikipedia because it's the most truth ever.
Right.
So it says jazz is a music genre that originated in the African American communities of New Orleans, United States, in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, with its roots in blues and ragtime. So very interesting, right? You guys know rhythm and blues, R&B. You know, so this is where rhythm and blues R&B gets its roots in jazz. So I don't know. Let's try to revive it. I think jazz is going to make a comeback soon.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. I think right now with the times we're in, I definitely think it's a more official lane to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, it's not like a lot of young 20-year-old jazz musicians,
right,
you know, running around, but I think it's a good time for a 50-year-old professional to pick back up his trumpet and go out there and start killing stuff again.
Yeah, you know what I mean, I've been running around doing sketches, you know, and so I've ran into recently a group of guys out on at Rittenhouse Square.
Right,
they were out there, whole jazz band playing. So maybe we'll see more of that as we continue on, especially with this craziness.
Right.
You know. So what you got for us, man?
All right. So, Nasir Jones, aka Nas, dropped the album last week called King Disease. And it made me think back on his whole career, and I remember growing up how impactful the Nas Illmatic album was. Because back then they had, you know, the cassette tapes and everything like that. And my cousin, Yasmatic, used to play that tape every day as she babysit me. And now that I'm much older, I got a chance to listen to the Illmatic album and listen as an adult. And I'm like, wow, this was pretty dope for that time period, you know? Mm-hmm. And but my thing is, it feels like that haunted Nas' career moving forward as far as album content went, you know? I don't think he had a full body of work that could be compared to that or even close, you know, and I think that kind of haunted him. Of course, he had, like, you know, hit singles and stuff like that.
So but you feel like it went Illmatic than others.
Than others, right. Then it's a selection of others. So you pick what you want out the bunch. You know, you could go, it was written back in 1996 from Nas. You can go Godson from 02 from Nas. You can go King's Disease from 2020. Like, you can pick whatever you want and still in the others.
So what do you think made people like Nas or gravitate towards Nas?
I really think it was his realism in his storytelling and lyricism, you know. I think he was, since Slick Rick, one of those storytellers that when you listen to him, you can visualize what he's saying as he's saying it, you know? And I think that's what people enjoyed about Nas, you know?
See, I don't know too much about Nas. Like, I don't know about his beginning or anything like that, like how he got his start.
Right.
Do you know anything about that?
Yes. He was discovered back in 1992 by a rapper, MC Search, who was with the group Third Base. Nas was signed to Columbia Records, because MC Search was his manager, pretty much.
Okay.
And he put him on the soundtrack. I believe the soundtrack was called, like, Zebrahead or something like that. But that what got Nas going, and then he put him on, I remember he had Third Base had a song, or I don't know if that was Third Base in general, it could have been MC Search, but he had a popular song called Live at the Barbecue. And Nas spit a controversial line or something. I went to hell for suffering Jesus, whatever was the line. And it was like mind blowing during that time period for him to say that. Like, whoa, you know. I point nines at nuns. It was crazy. But it was real interesting time during that time period.
Nasty Nas.
Nasty Nas.
Nasty Nas.
From Queens.
Interesting. So you were saying that you feel like after the Illmatic album, nothing else really did it. I mean, but he grew. He blew up. Like he was young, right? And then he had, like, this career. Like we said, others.
Right.
You know, jokingly, but he kind of blossomed, right? He went from the hip hop guy. He started doing movies and different ventures like that.
Right. He did the Belly. And I think the Jay-Z Nas situation, when they had that beef, just to fast forward a bit, when they had that beef, that kind of revived Nas' career, you know, because I think he was at a point where he was like seesawing, you know what I mean? Like his career was like seesawing. We have times where he was going up, he had times where he was going down. And I think the Jay-Z thing was a blessing in disguise, because when he dropped Ether, it was like, wow. Like, it was like a slap in the face to remind people, like, no, I can do this. I'm still in the mix, whatever. I'm still one of the best MCs alive, blah, blah, blah. And that gave him a huge boost, I think. And from that point to now, I think we can say that Nas did pretty well for himself.
Yeah, man. Do you think that the Khalees relationship had anything to do with music and him, you know, bringing out anything, any more music, or falling back from it, that kind of thing.
Well, we all know that the milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. But I think that kind of put a damper on his music for a minute, you know, especially from a creative process. We all been through relationships, tough ones, you know, and you know, from my experience, you know, it put a damper on me from a level that I'm at. So he's on a mainstream level, so I'm pretty sure that it put a damper on his creativity due to the mainstream media and all that type of stuff. You know,
I always find it interesting, because I was a lot younger when these dudes were out doing their thing. So when I look back, I have to remember that they were young.
Right.
You know what I mean? That they were young dudes. So they got to experience a lot, like, you know, some of that money that they were paid and some of that lifestyle they were living. They're some of the first to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So shout outs to Nas, man.
Shout out to Nas
for making a successful career out of all of it.
Yeah.
Out of all of it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know? All right, so we're rolling, guys. We're moving right along, right? You know, I want to take a quick second to talk about some songwriters, all right? Some songwriters that we might forget, all right? Now, we talked about jazz, you know. We had that some jazz greats like Duke Ellington, Miles Davis, John Coltrane, Dizzy Gillespie, and those guys.
The GOATs. Right?
The GOATs. The GOATs. They done paved the way. But I wanted to mention a brother by the name of Fats Domino. I mean, they were saying that he's one of the contributors to rock and roll, one of the first to, you know, help pave the way for that.
That's interesting.
And whenever I think about that, I always think about Little Richard.
Right.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite guys too. But I wanted to just talk about Fats Domino really fast, because I noticed something interesting when I was reading about him, and it said that his shyness and humility may have contributed to him not being as talked about as he should, or being overlooked. And I thought to myself, I said, how messed up is it? You know what I mean? How wrong is it for someone to say you were possibly overlooked, or how wrong is it to be overlooked for being basically a nice guy?
Right.
I mean, it kind of stinks. Yeah. You know? All right, but I want to give you guys a little bit of his background here. So Fats Domino, he also worked with a guy. He's a songwriter and a performer, and he worked with a brother by the name of Dave Bartholomew. Bartholomew.
All
right, where is this at?
Shout out to Dave Bartholomew.
Shout out to Dave Bartholomew. All right, so Antoine Fats Domino Jr., was an American pianist and singer-songwriter, one of the pioneers of rock and roll. Okay, Domino sold more than 65 million records. Between 1955 and 1960, he had 11 top 10 hits. Mm-hmm. 11. All right. Now, I've never had a top 10 hit, but this brother had 11.
Wow.
This brother had 11. Ruby, do you know any other songwriters today that have some records up there like that?
I mean, only one I can think of is probably like guys like Gamble and Huff and big dogs, but you know, not too many.
Yeah, but these are some of the guys that paved the way, man. I don't see if I can, I'm trying to find anything. I don't find anything where it's talking about him and where it's talking about him and Dave Bartholomew together. I did see a video. I was watching a video. It was talking about it. And they were saying that they fell apart a little bit over time. I don't have the reasons why, guys, but I'm thinking it's probably normal rock and roll business.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But they made some hits together, and they did a lot of traveling together. And I'm tempted to play a clip in the podcast, but I don't want it to get
waved.
Yeah, I don't want it to get waved. Maybe I can get away with a second. Maybe.
Let's see what we can get away with, folks.
See, maybe a second, right?
Right.
Remember that opening thing I just played where they was jamming for a few seconds?
Right, right. Maybe we can bless y'all with a few 25 seconds of some dopeness right here.
Let me see. Yeah, he comes on. They come on real fast. Here it is, I think. Wait. No, here it is. All right, here it is, y'all. Let me see. This is Fats Domino and Dave Bartholomew. Real fast. Wait. Wait, I'm going to go back. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Check out the intro. Crowd start going off. The crowd start going off. All right, the crowd start going off. All right, so that's a little taste of what those brothers done did. I don't know if you guys have ever been to a live jazz show or performance or anything. I know. Every year there's a couple different festivals.
The Jazz Festival.
Yeah, you know, Philly big for them joints.
Yeah, Philly, yeah.
Have you ever caught the one up in Fairmount? Mount Airy. I think this is during like a Mount Airy day.
Yeah.
They normally have like some bands come out there.
Right.
Dude. You tear it down, man.
Don't they be killing it?
They tear it down. Especially at the Mann Center.
Yeah.
They get the shows going.
Right.
So, you know, shout out to all of the jazz folks out there. Shout out to all of the singing songwriters who have paved the way.
Yes, yes, indeed.
You know what I'm saying? So we want to talk about some producers and some company owners, you know, while we're at it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, yes. So, Mula B, do you have a favorite music producer?
Yes, I actually do. She's very underrated, but yet very talented. Mm. And she's a female rapper standout. Mm. But I think her production gets overlooked.
Mm.
And I'm talking about Missy Elliott.
Oh, I thought she was talking about Lil Ma.
Oh no, Lil Ma's a close second. But Missy Elliott, she's produced a lot of hits. Let's look here. She Work It, whatever.
Did you see the old lady performing that? She'd be like, "Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it." She'd be like, "Is y'all flipping it? Is y'all flipping it?" She'd be like, "No, it's y'all flipping it. Is y'all flipping it? Yeah. If you got a big, let me search you. Find out how hard I gotta work you." I say, "Yo."
She was out of pocket. That was funny.
But she made me say, "Yo, Missy's song was hot as shit."
Yeah.
But that, it is crazy.
Right.
Hearing that old lady say it, I was like, "Yo, that song is hot to death."
Yeah, that's when you know you got one of those,
you know,
white people just who bust out in
a
song.
When a grandma could take it to karaoke and bust that joint open, she said, "If you got a big," she did the elephant sound, bro.
That's what got me. I was like, "Whoa!"
She said, "Let me search you. If you got a big," "let me search you." Oh, look. Yeah. Missy got them bangers.
Missy definitely got the bangers. Then okay, she did Sock It To Me. That was off her Super Duper Fly album.
I like that boom bang and bang bang bang. Yeah, that was hot.
Yeah, yeah. And outside of her own work, she did Hot Boys.
Ooh.
Hot Boys.
What I want. Lexus Jeeps in the Bendy, then the Lincoln Deep, nothing cheaper, no better be the. Is that your car? Your SK8? Why would you? Can I be your day? Missy crazy.
She we fucking shit up.
Can I vibe? Can I be your day?
She sounds very seductive.
I feel like she was real creepy in the studio in that way. Like right. Real weird in the studio coming right. up with a lot right. of that.
For some reason, I picture her like in a big jacket.
In a big jacket?
Big jacket.
I can see that.
Like. Mink shit.
I feel like she had a lot of snacks in the studio.
Me too. Like a lot of little,
the song she make me think she had a lot of snacks in the studio.
Well, it was probably a lot of ching ching chong going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I feel like she had a lot of like you know, Cupcake Jones.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So she also co-produced Ching 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 by Philly's own Miss Jade.
Ching ching ching. Yeah. Wah, 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 bing, bing.
Shout out to Miss Jade, by the way.
That's interesting, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's she has a very interesting catalog. She also produced Monica's So Gone.
Nah, yeah.
Yeah, that was
So that, You mm-hmm. Make Me mm-hmm. That's hot. Do, 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 do. So
yeah, she has some joints. She has some joints. One joint just caught me off guard. I'm sorry, guys. Maya. She did My Love Is Like Whoa.
My Love. Damn, did any of these young ladies write their own songs?
That's what I wanted to know.
Man, I lying, acting like Missy. Y'all done, all of y'all done sat there at Missy damn doorstep.
Like, can you please give me one of those?
I did like little puppies. Y'all heard Missy? Y'all got any more of them songs? Y'all got any more of them Missy Elliott songs? Can I get a song by Missy Elliott?
Before Master come.
Mess been not gonna get me some Missy Elliott song.
But yeah, shut up.
Mass, I'm gonna need me another Missy Elliott song.
But shout out to Missy Elliott.
One of the GOATs.
One of the GOATs, one of the legends. I just wanted to salute her, man. I think she's very thrown under the radar when it comes to production and producing. And yeah, I just wanted to shine some light on her. So shout out to Missy Elliott.
Shout out to Missy Elliott.
Elliott.
Missy Elliott. Yeah. Okay, Missy Elliott.
Yeah. Sidebar, we got some pizza coming.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's dope. That's all the way official.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so speaking of producers,
mm-hmm.
out of all of the ones that I like, because I like a few of them, I'm a you guys know I'm a producer as well. Yeah, you know I mean,
nah, man, he be doing some producing and everything.
Yeah, I be producing your own. But no. My one of the guys that I like and admire the most, not just as a producer, but a company owner, businessman, is that they're Barry Gordy.
Ooh.
Your brother Barry Gordy, you know. Cool. He started Motown Records. Boom, 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 ding. But what I really like about him is just his approach to creating a label, running it, and the passion that he put behind it. Like, he really believed in what he was doing.
Right.
And I'm not sure if I was him, if I was around at that time, I'm not sure if I would have had the balls to put my money behind records. Right. Seeing how segregated things were, in a way.
Yeah.
it was a gamble. You know what I'm saying? If these guys are saying that you would need $250,000 or something like that to make a move, and you actually get it,
right?
You know what I'm saying? And put it on yourself.
Because back then, I'm sorry, back then it was not like they had very big examples to look at and say, you know what, I can do this. You know what I mean? It was really a roll of the dice for them back then.
And you still have all of this saboteur stuff going on.
Right.
You have all of these guys trying to rob black artists of their money. You have labels trying to cheat them. You have radio was big, you know, because you needed to get your radio on you need to get your record on the radio.
Right.
And so the radio station would charge these guys, you know,
right,
big sums of money to get these things played, and then sometimes they wouldn't do it.
Right.
So it's tough. And it was like, who do you go complain to? Oh, police officer, these people stealing my money. We don't care.
Right.
So yeah, he really, yeah, he really has some courage that I can't say I wouldn't have. And I think that's that kind of the courage that comes from sheer love. Like, we like, I love doing what I'm doing.
Right.
So he helped a lot of kids, a lot of talent, a lot of kids who wouldn't leave the hood, who wouldn't maybe have gotten opportunity. I don't want to say leave the hood, but maybe wouldn't have gotten the opportunity then to travel and grow and expand.
Right.
He created a door for that to happen and let them do it.
Right.
You know, so I think he's really a decent example of how labels could be ran. And if you go back, none of the artists on the label say that they had problems with him and how he did business.
That's crazy.
None of them.
That's crazy.
None of them say that, oh, we were cheated, we weren't paid right, he didn't listen to us, he didn't work, none of that.
Right.
I think Motown has the best record that I know of dealing with
fairness.
Artists.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to Barry Gordy.
And they signed, once Motown got up to the hip-hop era, they were the ones who did a deal with Queen Latifah.
Ooh.
And I think that's dope, because that says a lot for their understanding and their willingness to work with artists and not like follow any kind of goofy trends.
Right.
You know, they didn't push a trashy version of an artist.
Right.
They went and found one that would rise to a Motown standard.
Right.
And that's dope.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Motown.
Shout out to Motown.
They really paved the way for artists.
Good companies out there. If I was to do a deal, I would like a Motown deal, maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Jackson 5, they had to deal over at Motown, right?
They sure enough did.
Yeah.
And Barry Gordy, I remember him saying that they put a lot of time, effort, and money into getting some records cut for those boys, as he put it. The boys.
They was probably boys during that time.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But that was crazy, man. Can you imagine that?
Right.
Can you imagine like all those different talents
working
with each other?
And all those different ages at that, you know?
You know what I'm saying? All these acts, they're torn in different things.
Right.
And then they still have this the museum now.
Yeah.
Which I think they still operate the studio from.
Okay.
And like a portion of it.
Right.
But interesting stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to the companies and stuff. You got anything you want to add on this, man?
Not necessarily, man. Just that Motown, we was talking about songwriting earlier. We was talking about charts. I think Motown is one of the only labels that has the most charted artists on the Billboard charts in history.
Wow, really?
I'm assuming so. I'm taking a real educated guess, real strong hypothesis by saying that as far as Motown go. But they always had a tight roster, you know, and just shout out to Motown, man.
And before we get out of here, give you guys a little bit. It says Motown played an important role. This is from Wikipedia. Motown played an important role in a racial integration of popular music as an African-American-owned label that achieved crossover success. In the 1960s, Motown and its subsidiary labels, including Tamla Motown, the brand used outside the U.S., were the most successful proponents of the Motown sound and style of soul music with a mainstream pop appeal. Motown was the most successful soul music label with a net worth of $61 million during the 1960s. Motown achieved 79 records in the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100 between 1960 and 1969. Mm. So that's an impressive track record. Motown achieved 79 records in the top 10.
That's mean. That's very mean.
You know, 70. That's, you know, think about how many records they were cranking out to do that.
Right.
You know, so.
And think about how many albums they didn't release. You know, from various artists and how much, you know.
Exactly.
That material matters as well.
You know? Crazy stuff, man. Crazy stuff. You know, so are we wrapping it up here?
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up.
All right, guys, this is going to conclude our first ever episode of Digging Through Tracks, all right? Where we're digging through tracks and bringing you facts. It's going down like that. That's how we're doing it.
So you already know what it is, man. D-Money, Mr. Hurt, over, out.
All right, so make sure you guys tune in, and we'll catch you guys on the next side, all right?